All right, whenever you want.
All right, let's start this. You ready, Luke?
I'm ready.
All right, so this is episode 40 of the podcast, and I am Casey, sweating to the oldies.
I'm Luke, sweating to the oldies, too.
And I'm Scott, sweating to the oldies, 3.
And this is the podcast.
Nothing's too weird.
Know that first and foremost.
It is a beautiful April night.
Yeah. Is it still April? Yep.
I think so.
Yep. This month will never end.
Is it? Why does is it?
It won't.
Seems like it's going fast to me.
Well, it's just hitting me like a ton of bricks.
Why is that?
I don't know. I feel like nothing's going right. It's April. I don't blame April, but just
April
all
showers.
Of April. It's been showering awfulness on me. All right, so this is an impromptu podcast.
Yes, it is.
Luke came over and I was like, hey, we should podcast. And you're right. Like, yeah, I'll do it.
Well,
no
I'm
pressure.
Always down, yeah.
And we're in the porch.
Well, we're here working on the new album.
Yeah.
And it's coming along swimmingly.
That's good.
And this is just the capper of the evening.
Yeah.
Luckily, I didn't blow out my voice singing, so...
That's good. You guys had pots and pans down there again.
Yes. We're always finding new creative ways to avoid having to buy a trap set.
What's a trap set? The metal things?
The drum, like
the
drum
snare
set.
Snare drum.
Oh. What are those metal things called?
Cymbals.
Cymbals?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hi-hats?
There, yeah, there's the two cymbals that go like... This is a podcast, so
they see.
Right. Yeah, but then there's the crashings, like the...
Yeah, the ones. I bet I could play that. No, I couldn't play that. I couldn't do anything. Hey, there's spotlights over there.
They have... Right, we're out in the neighborhood, basically.
With this a live studio audience, which is the neighbors.
Right.
It's too bad there's not any insect sounds yet.
Right, it's still kind of early.
Maybe some crickets or something, but you know.
Maybe there might be frogs.
That sound like a cricket.
That sounded just like a cricket because that was a cricket.
If I could do an elephant noise right now, I would.
It's more of a.
That's like
rooster.
A raptor. There's raptors out here. It's Johnston.
The Johnston raptors.
There are dragons around here.
Dragons? Do
that's
tell.
That's
our mascot.
Where are you going, Scott?
Why do you always do that?
I don't know. Am I supposed to pretend this isn't Scott standing up? Everyone
we have
be
to
advised. They can't see it, so they need to know you're standing up and messing with a microphone.
No, they don't need to know that.
Well, they'll wonder why isn't Scott talking?
No, they won't.
They will. They might.
I don't think they will.
So we should probably update our listeners on Richard Simmons.
I haven't heard anything since we last discussed.
Nothing has transpired. He says he's not in hiding. Trump wants to get him out of there.
So Richard Simmons has made a statement?
Yeah.
I missed that.
He said, I'm fine. People don't accept it, though.
How they did think, he, did he, like, was this through Twitter? Or was
I think
this...
it was, like, phone interviews.
Wow.
He said he injured himself and he's fine and he's just laying low. But Trump's going to get him out of there. And here's something. Something I learned today is what Richard Simmons' real first name is.
I think I know it.
What?
Can we, let's say it on three.
Okay.
On three or after three?
On three, while we're saying the...
While we're saying three, we'll also say the name at the same time.
No, duh.
We'll say both.
After three.
So one, two, three, go.
What? No go, just one, after three.
Three and the three. Word at the same time.
Yes.
So
no, it has to be a go. It
nope,
has to
while
be.
We're saying three, we also have to say the
His
name.
His first name was Go. Ready?
All right, go ahead.
One, two, three. Milton. Milton. Yes.
Yes. It's Milton. Nice. How did he get Richard? Why?
Why? Milton. Can you imagine Milton Simmons?
I mean,
that's
like,
hard to say. Milton Simmons.
If you could pick any name, would it be Richard?
Richard.
Why doesn't he go Dick Simmons? That's solid.
Yeah, that's cool. Why don't we start calling him Dick Simmons?
Dick Simmons. We're close.
Yep. Dickie Sims.
Dickie Sims. Old Dickie Sims is fine, so yeah. Stop worrying
about
him.
Old Dickie Slims. He's a country singer.
Slims America. That's what his job is.
He does. His studio in L.A. is called Slimmins.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Perfect. We got that all solved. Dick Simmons.
Well, I'm a little worried because he's done phone interviews. He's not...
He hasn't shown himself.
Right.
I don't
So
believe.
What is his injury? I mean, did he pull a hammy? Did Dickie pull a hammy? What?
I don't know what happened to Dickie. I thought I knew, but now that it's time for me to say what happened to him, I have no idea what happened to him. I think it might be his knees, but I could just be saying that just because... Everyone's got knee problems.
Well, this could be an ongoing investigation. Yeah. I mean...
On the podcast.
Right.
Yeah. So let's check in next time on what's injured. Listen.
Where in the world is Dick Milton Slimmons? Well, if you're listening, Richard, just phone into the show or...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, call in.
Call in.
Call in.
This isn't live.
Lines are open.
Or just...
The lines are open, but this isn't live.
Well, if you're listening, reach out to Nothing's Too Weird.
Nothing's Too Weird@gmail.com. I assume you have email. I assume they haven't taken that away from you. If they have, I don't know how you're going to contact us.
Mm-hmm.
How is he going to if he doesn't have email? He's clearly listening.
Messenger dove?
Yeah, send a messenger. Scott's getting out of his headphones.
Yep, I'm fine.
He's fine.
Am I breathing too loudly into the...
Yes. Stop breathing.
Everyone stop breathing for a few minutes in honor of Prince.
No.
Hold your breath.
That was a shock.
It was.
It was to me, and I don't even know anything about him or like him.
I
was like, what? He's 57? What the fuck? And what happened?
And it's crazy because just on Saturday... We were singing Pussy Control in the car. You know, and that was the day that his plane had to land. But you know, people were calling out to you, sing Purple Rain.
Right, yeah. Even we were performing at a talk show. Like you do on the weekends.
Last weekend we were performing. I wasn't.
We
were just lingering.
You were the groupie.
Mm-hmm.
And someone called out Purple Rain, and I... began to try to play it.
Yeah. Really, we had kind of planned on maybe we'll just sing a little bit of Pussy Control.
I can do backup. I don't know that song very well. But I was the same way. I wasn't a huge Prince fan, but it's weird because now that I'm approaching 30, it may sound trite, but 57 doesn't seem that old.
It's not that far away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, my sister's 40, so, you know, that's... It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Death.
Huh. We talked earlier about, you know, people finding our dead bodies. Because, okay, I had a back situation on last Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, I'm going to die.
What's a back situation? Explain what you're talking about.
Okay, well, my back hurt.
Duh.
but it was more than that.
It was more than that. Okay, so I was getting ready to go to work, and I was literally just standing, like, getting ready to go, and then all of a sudden my back started hurting real bad right in the middle of it, and I was like, what's going on? And I just got, it, like, knocked me to the ground. It hurt so bad, so I was screaming and crying, and then my
You
chest...
literally have fallen, and you can't get up.
Exactly, and that's why I said it. It was like in a I've fallen, and I can't get up situation. Right. I didn't have my phone, and then it was like...
Nor a life alert bracelet.
Yes, and my chest was hurting, and I couldn't breathe, and I'm like, am I having a heart attack? My arms aren't feeling weird.
Mm-hmm.
My arms are fine, and then I'm like, oh, I'm going to die here, and I can't get my phone, and who's going to find my body? Because everyone at work will just send emails or texts, and if they don't get a hold of me, they're just going to be like, well, I don't know, no one's coming over here. So it would be like, Scott, right. when he gets home, would find my body.
Right.
No idea what went on. And then it would probably turn into, like, a crime show. Like The Staircase.
Where
they think Scott did it.
Well, would you have been... It would depend on where you had collapsed. I mean...
My back started hurting, like, right by the staircase. And, I mean, I went to the ground, but what if I would have just flopped down the staircase?
Right. And they thought maybe Scott would have pushed you.
Mm-hmm. And then it would turn into a TV show.
I would blame it on an owl. Have you not seen The Staircase, Luke?
I haven't, no.
Well, that'd be a good thing to watch. A guy pretty much killed two of his wives.
And blamed it on an owl?
Yeah. The second one he did, yeah. But anyway.
The second one the owl really did do. And then I told you how lucky you are to have a partner that would find your body. At this stage in my life, I would just, my landlord would find me.
Is your landlord a man or a woman?
I don't even know. It's like a big corporation.
Oh, God.
I don't know what it is. A group
it's
of people
entity.
Would find me. Yeah.
I remember that in college, living in apartments mm-hmm. where it's like, I don't even know who, what.
Who's it's, in charge of this?
Yeah, I write a check to who? Okay. Yeah.
That so wasn't when
property
you were living with
management
Leon.
Group. Leon?
Him and Heath lived in the same house at different points in time in college, and we just
Before
found out
we knew each other.
But you shared Leon in common.
Yeah, Leon.
Yeah. Like, we were both... I'm sure we've talked about this on here.
Yeah, we
many
have.
Many times. But we were both talking about our college houses, and it kind of started to get similar.
Wow.
Like, hold on, where did you live? And it was like, oh my God, we lived in the same house, like, 10 years apart. Same landlord.
Leon.
I don't have a Leon. I have a...
You might have a Leon.
Could be.
I don't know who it is. So we were in Nevada, Iowa last weekend. First time there for me.
I had never been there before.
Scott seems to feel he's been there.
I've been there to play
Why?
sports in middle school because we were in the same conference as them. But after that, we got bigger and we never went there again. But.
Well, it's the 26th best small town in America.
Right.
Yeah. It says that on their sign.
Yeah.
They are very proud of that.
They
26th.
Are.
26th.
26.
Yep, they're right.
He couldn't wait. Couldn't wait till you were 25 or better.
They're proud.
Maybe have some goals. You know? Maybe.
You know, they're putting it out there in the world. Like, that's their vision board.
Right.
26. We got to get this up.
Well, I wonder how often they update that. Is that a yearly? Like, do they have a...
Yeah, it was like in 1989.
Right? Do they have, like, an Oscars for small towns?
How long do you think they let them talk about it? Like,
I don't. You know who they were beat out by last year, though? Cate Blanchett.
That bitch.
She's great, though. Great small town.
She can play a small town. She can play Dylan.
She can play a big town. She can play a metropolitan area.
She's actually playing the part of Luke Ritter right now.
And we're honored to have her. So you were performing at the Talent Factory, which, for whatever reason, there's a theater.
It
was really nice.
It was like a silent movie house or something.
Yeah, it was real cool.
And it was big.
Yeah.
And it's called Camelot, but they've renamed it the Talent Factory. But
right.
there's a sign that says Camelot, so let's just call it
the Camelot
Theater. You're performing at the Camelot Theater.
But it has a nice ring to it. I'm performing at the Camelot.
Yeah.
There was Fog Machine. Which, if you've heard my album, listeners, you know.
There's it requires nothing, a fog machine.
Nothing better than rolling a doobie and putting on your home laser light system and listening to Late Bloom.
You know what I liked computer. Is how he explained how the fog machine was going to add the ambiance to the audience. What?
Let's set up what was going on there.
Well, okay. But the listeners
have no idea.
Let's not forget to get back to the fog machine.
Well, of course
right.
we won't.
Okay. Bookmark it.
Yeah, bookmark the fog machine.
Just set it up. What were we doing?
That's. I'm sorry, listeners.
Scott's scolding us.
No, he's keeping... Okay, so let's. I'll let you set it up.
We went to Nevada, Iowa.
There you go. All right.
We were performing a song from the last... I feel like I'm plugging the album too much.
No, it's fine.
It available on Beast Village Records now.
Right now.
Got to pay those bills.
Yep.
Got to pay those bills.
to the landlord yes. that you don't know.
To my record manager, Patrick Hasty, yeah. who will probably listen to this and checks in the mail. But no, we're performing there.
Yeah.
And it was a...
Why? Are you guys kidding me right now?
Scott, sounds like you should set it up.
I'll do it.
We have our things that we were focused on.
I was focused on myself the whole night. I didn't notice much of what else was going on.
Okay. We were Nevada. The musical guest mm-hmm. on a pilot talk show that was being recorded in a theater. For Mr. Joel Fry. Yeah.
Yes, sorry.
It was called Past Your Bedtime.
Mm-hmm. Started at 8, Tommy Morgan Jr.
was there.
Tommy Morgan Jr. was the comedian. Before that was a writer, children's writer. Mm-hmm. Can't remember her name.
She was very nice.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And before that was Gary Kroger. Is that right?
Yep, he knows Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
He was on SNL in the mid-80s,
mm-hmm.
and now he's a...
Running for Congress, I think, here
in Iowa. Yep, and he is formerly Julia Louis-Dreyfus's friend,
mm-hmm.
notably.
So, it was a talk show. That was the deal.
Yep.
We were the musical guests, closing it out, playing a song from the album.
Mm-hmm.
Good job, Scott.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. We were telling stories.
It doesn't matter if you know. Now the audience knows.
Now it's like they're there.
Yep.
And it's a totally different experience doing what I found doing a talk show because there's no introduction.
Yeah.
You know that nervous like okay and they introduce you and you go on I've always hated that. And in a talk show no, it's a commercial break. You just walk out.
Mm-hmm.
They set you up.
And you wait.
And you wait, and then the audience has to pretend that...
It's not happening.
That it's not happening.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird, but...
There were probably, 20 people there?
20 to 30?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, whatever.
I thought that they said they pre-sold 50 tickets.
Well, some people stayed home.
Some people were no-shows. No call, no show.
It was kind of a bummer. That was a bit of a bummer.
But the audience that was there was good.
But they did good.
They were, So let's start with, we got there early
mm-hmm.
to do like sound check.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Some things were askew. As the voice of God told us.
There was a loudspeaker and it was dark. You couldn't see.
He was in the back of the theater.
Mm-hmm.
The owner of the place was in the back of the theater on a PA. And we were doing sound check.
And why didn't he come out and say, hey, it's me?
I don't know.
That was real weird.
Yep.
Okay. Not too weird, but...
Nothing's too weird.
Nothing's too weird, but to me...
So, you should get an idea of who this guy is first. He is a guy whom is known amongst the Des Moines comedy scene, I guess? As being... At least on Facebook, a conservative who gets into a lot of
tiffs. Yep, he's a little Facebook troll.
A tiff troll?
Yeah, he's a tiff troll. He's no Dick Simmons, that's for sure. This man is no Dick Simmons.
Who is, though?
No one is. But, you know, I've seen him get into some crazy Facebook fights where I'm just like, is this person real?
He's a Trump supporter.
But I think also kind of a Facebook troll, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But I mean, I've seen, here's the thing is I've seen him on Facebook and I knew what he was about. I knew.
Trolling.
But I always felt like he was outnumbered on Facebook so hard amongst all these comedians
that I kind of felt sorry for him.
No, I kind of admired him a little bit, and I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt when we showed benefit of the doubt when we showed up there.
Well, and the tenseness there, it was. Let's say it was a tense sound check.
It was.
It didn't come from any political point of view.
No. He was just kind of a bully.
Yeah, he was on some kind of power.
But thing. The thing was, that's the first time I've ever played in front of anyone.
Mm-hmm. And you did fantastic.
Oh, thanks. I mean, I've played in front of friends and stuff, just sitting around. But that's the first time I've ever been on a PA.
Right.
Not in any sort of friendly capacity. It was just—it was real.
So
I didn't know what to expect.
Mm-hmm. And similar for me, I hadn't been on stage in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little intimidating. It was a little tense, but we got through it.
Yep.
And so we did sound check. He was obsessed with my guitar being out of tune.
Which you guys hadn't tuned your guitar.
Which
yet.
Yeah, well,
we had.
I mean, at home. But the thing is, I don't care if it's out of tune at that point. It could sound like a dying dog.
But it didn't.
I need to know. A sound check. I want to know how loud is it, and is that the sound I want?
Right.
I don't care about if it's. Clearly, I'm going to tune it up before we go out there. But he would not let it go. He said to you, he said, Luke.
And I hadn't met this person either.
No, yeah, neither one of us had.
No. No one had met him.
So we met him on stage from.
But no, you didn't meet him because 100
feet away.
In the back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you met him from 100 feet away
over
a microphone.
Mm hmm.
So he said.
That's how he introduced himself.
He said, Luke, didn't get your lead guitar player's name. And I'm just standing there like, well, I'm right here.
Right.
Just ask.
Right, twice, though.
Yeah. And then you said his name's Scott, didn't you? Or did I say I'm Scott?
I don't know.
Then he said, well, he's a little out of tune. Do you have a tuner?
Luke said, yeah.
Yeah,
I do.
We got a tuner.
And then everyone just kind of moved on like, yeah,
you're making
finish.
Me sound way cooler. way more blasé than I am.
And then he started making me, like, tune it there.
He made you play chords.
Play an E chord. And then he told me which string was out of tune. At which point, the guitar was not loud enough. It did not have enough distortion.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even want to ask for reverb because it was.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of felt like my part was very small too.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, well, it's not going to be right, but whatever. We'll just do it. It's fine.
Which it, in my opinion, it was in tune. And we had an 2 hours that we would, of course, be.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Retuning and retooling. And
sound check isn't about tuning.
Yeah, we had 2 hours to kill in Nevada. Yeah. So that's how we were introduced to this guy.
Yeah, we got that all kind of sorted out. And then we were early, so.
So, yeah.
We went to Subway.
We went to Subway, and there was 2 teens there, and they were having the time of their lives. And
causing trouble.
Yeah, causing trouble. Wreaking havoc in Nevada.
Where did we go after that?
Well, Scott. It's right here. To
excellent.
Well, then it's like we need drinks. So we're going to the Mexican restaurant. And we sit down and immediately they're bringing us fucking nachos. Motherfucking nachos.
Motherfucking.
As Gideon said.
And there was a Mexican restaurant right across the street from that.
Yeah, it's
right.
A 2 Mexican restaurant town.
In a tiny
there
small
was,
town.
Yeah. It was like Starbucks's.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we go in there. They're bringing the nachos, and it's like, well, I feel terrible because we're just ordering drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked the lady, is it okay if we just order drinks? I'll pay for these nachos. And she just looks confused and says, okay. And I'm like, well, that's not okay, is it? It's not okay.
Right. Now, at this point, I walk in from nervously chain smoking after sound check. And I have a thing. I don't like to go into a restaurant and not order anything. It makes me feel like, you know, I need to be
contributing.
Contributing, supporting this establishment. And it just seemed like, and of course, you know, we are paranoid individuals.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to me, it seemed like they were judging.
They weren't. They weren't okay with it. And it was clear to me it was not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then so I'm like, well, I'll figure something out. I'm going to order this brownie. So then I ordered a brownie. You know, we're all eating it. It's fine.
Very delicious brownie, by the way.
Yep. And everyone is staring at us. And there's other people in the restaurant. No one is speaking to each other.
That was the weird thing.
Yeah.
And the, if there are any listeners in Nevada, please email. Let us know if this is...
Don't email. Talk to us.
Come talk to us.
They don't
There were families sitting in other tables.
Yeah.
And it wasn't empty. It was there were a lot of people in there. In silence.
Everyone was quiet, and they were all like, what's going on here with these guys?
Right.
And everyone was looking at us. And then it was... I found it delightful because I'm like, because you knew what was going on, Luke. You were like, yeah, this is terrible.
Well, it's my question. Does this town eat in silence? is it like a Footloose thing where someone died in a restaurant talking accident?
And we're like Ren coming into town, like, just
let's talk.
We're in a warehouse talking with ourselves.
26th most silent town in America.
I don't know. They might be up on the list.
Yeah, maybe that's how they could get higher on the list. Just like 10th most silent town in America.
It was crazy to me.
It was insane. And so, obviously, the waitress kept lingering around, and the owner kept lingering around. And luckily, you were there to say, yes, this is nuts, because it was like... with you being there, it was like being at dinner with myself, and I'm like, he gets it.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what's going on.
We are mirror images.
This is fucked. Mm-hmm.
but then in the end, we went up to pay.
Yeah.
I left an incredible tip, I just want to say, and I got water. And the lady that, the waitress was taking the ticket, and she was like...
She was fine with everything.
Because we just decided to spill our guts to her about everything we were feeling, like she was our therapist. And, she spoke maybe two words of English. Yeah. But she was fine. We're just crazy.
Yeah. The bill was $17. We left her a $10 tip, and it's fine.
Though I will say, talk to each other. Don't... Eating is a social activity.
Yeah. And it's like, we're not crazy for talking to each other.
No.
You guys are crazy for eating in silence. And, you know, I feel our waitress was okay with us ordering that. After I left, I was like, that's fine. I still think the owner was like, what are these people doing?
They thought we were causing trouble.
Mm-hmm. We were.
Up to no good out-of-towners.
Yeah, we were really cool out-of-towners. We came into Nevada, and everyone was just, like, all eyes on us.
Right. They're not... They don't know who we are. We could be drifters. We could be spies from the 25th most nice town.
The 27th. We're going to take that 26th spot. And so, you know, we made it through. Luckily, we made it through.
Right. It was very... It was from the time that we did sound check up to that point... Incredibly
emotions
tense.
Run high.
Yeah.
So
then we headed back over to the theater.
Right.
Yeah.
And we went backstage.
Well,
the
okay.
Green room.
But first, remember the guy that was out front that you're like, well, that's our audience. It was this guy.
Well, yeah, it was a guy in a Rascal scooter who clearly had type 2 diabetes and
shorts on with his shirt like plopped up.
Yeah. He was driving by and noticed something was free.
Which is usually my audience.
Yep.
So you went in.
He's downloaded the album.
Ended up, that guy was in our audience. So yes. Mm-hmm. So we went into the theater, went backstage.
To the green room.
And what
did
we...
Which was beige. yellow.
It was not even a room. It was a.
It was very tiny.
It was a hallway. It was fine. Whatever.
It was fine, except.
I didn't like that there was no bathroom back there.
We had to provide our own waters.
And buy them.
I feel
like I need those. Yeah. We deserved free waters.
Well, and there was a fridge in there with nothing in it.
Yeah. Mini fridge, empty.
But when we had to go to the bathroom, we just walked around the block.
Right.
And went in the front door.
I went in the alley because I'm fucking rock and roll.
I'm always worried about indecent exposure charges.
Well, yeah. And I'm definitely not peeing in alleys.
You guys are lame.
No, Scott.
You guys are lame.
Obviously, if I could pee in an alley, that I would be arrested.
You can do what?
There was behind the... My voice just cracked. Behind the green room, there was an outdoor alley, though, which I prefer to just be outside. Yeah. I don't need anything special. Just let me be outside so I can chain smoke and I can tune my guitar.
Yeah, tune those guitars.
And I have all this...
I tuned it four times in the hour and 10 minutes that we were waiting.
My guitar ended up being out of tune.
Because I was paranoid.
I like to have a little bit out of tune guitar. Because it grounds me. It lets people know, you know what? I'm not a musician. Real. I'm a songwriter.
Yep. There you go.
So, what did we do? We hung out backstage.
Yeah, I asked Joel Fry at one point if he was in beast mode, and he had no idea what I was doing. I had no idea.
Have you brought up beast mode on the podcast before?
No, we haven't.
It's a mode we go into. It's become a mantra. It's a way of life at this point. I guess it stems from Beast Village Records and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's become when we want to do something that is out of our comfort zone. Yep.
We just say we're going into
beast. We go into beast mode. And it seems to work.
Yeah. It's really worked well. Like, when we weren't okay with what's going on in the Mexican restaurant, then we just went crazy and said, whatever, I don't care, I'm in beast mode.
So whatever you have to, if any of you listeners out there, God forbid, are like us. Just get yourself a mantra.
Get into beast mode.
Get into beast mode.
Yeah. So I asked Joel Fry, are you in beast mode? And he was just like, what the fuck? Yeah, I guess. That's what he just said. He goes, yeah, sure. And then,
would you think you'd really need to be?
I would. To
go on stage.
Totally need to be in beast mode.
I will never go on stage without being in beast mode again. I'll tell you that.
Scott, were you in beast mode?
He was busy tuning his guitar.
Yeah, I was pretty much just busy making sure that one string was in tune. I was paranoid about it. He made me paranoid about it.
Yeah, he put us into beast mode.
And usually I wouldn't care, but he was such a bully about it. And I was so upset that the sound wasn't going to be right that it was just like, well, all right, I'll at least make sure I'm in tune, I guess.
But it did. It ended up sounding great.
Yeah.
Could have sounded better.
Let's talk about the fog.
Well, let's talk about... Okay, so we go on stage. Mm-hmm. It's our segment.
The last part of the show.
Yep.
Closing it up.
We go on stage. We're standing out there.
And then...
And there's a fog machine going.
Well, and it was like, you remember...
Which actually, I think it probably looked pretty cool.
The conservative debate where... What was it? Was it Ben Carson would just... Wasn't going out on stage when they called him? That's what it felt like.
It did, because we didn't really know. Are we supposed to go through the curtain yet?
And
or
so
not,
I, like
or...
Trump, came out and stood with you because I didn't know.
God bless you.
God bless America. And then so I was in the audience. I was in the audience when Tommy performed, which he did a bang up job. Tommy Morgan Jr. That was so funny.
Yeah. So hilarious.
So bang up job. And so I got there.
Go out and see Tommy if you ever get a chance. I think he does a...
Felix and Oscars?
Yeah, I think there's a monthly show there.
I don't know what it's
Boy,
called,
we're good at promoting other people's stuff.
Yeah, look at that plug.
Just look it up. You guys, we have to do everything for you,
don't
we?
Why do we have to do everything for everyone? God. So, you know, I'm out there, and then it's time for them, and the fucking fog is flying. It's just going up in the sky, and then the voice of God is over the speakers, and he's explaining how this fog... is going to get the effect he wants. He said, now if you guys watch this fog, it's going to raise up. And then once it gets filled in there in the curtains, then you're going to see it come down. You'll see it first in the lights, and it's going to have a really good effect. And so we're all just sitting there like, all right, let's watch this fog. And
I never realized how loud fog machines are.
Yeah, it's like every 20 seconds.
Like, imagine a loud, like, what are those things in your house that spray?
Fog machines?
No. They spray, like, scents. They're like scentsies, but they're, they mist fragrance.
Like Glade
air like freshener? A giant industrial size Glade air freshener. Which, also, fog, don't inhale.
Yeah. It's... What, I wonder what that's made out of.
I don't know. Like,
something carcinogenic.
Dead dreams.
Well, the dead dreams started, you know, falling down in front of the lights, and then it's time for you guys to come out.
And it did look pretty cool.
It did look cool.
It did.
And, you know, the audience just loved you guys.
So we start playing.
Yeah.
The song starts. We're doing well, right?
At that point, I went on autopilot, so I don't know what happened.
You did. I could tell. And that was good, though. That's how you want to be. You don't want to be thinking about it.
Right, because, I mean, I have a big problem with nerves playing guitar on stage.
Yeah.
And a lot of times my fingers just freeze up. And so I have to just put myself in...
Beast mode.
almost like in a Zen beast mode.
Yeah.
To where I'm just thinking about the song, and I'm just in that...
Hibernating beast mode.
I'm sharing that, you know, I used to, when I was doing stand-up, I would think of the audience as, like, a separate entity.
Mm-hmm.
But that isn't true. We become... Is this too
No,
cheap?
This is good.
They're a part of what I'm doing. We're in this together. And if I just put myself in that, realize that,
mm-hmm.
the nerves go away.
That's good.
And it's just, I'm having a moment with them. And it was where I could see the faces on, like, the front, and...
Yeah.
No one was asleep, so that was good. Sorry, I interrupted.
So we're doing well, right?
Yeah, you guys say good.
And then my part comes in, and yeah, the guitar doesn't sound as good as I want it to, because he wouldn't add the stuff that needed to be added. He was concerned about it being out of tune. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going well.
It wasn't out of tune.
Yeah, it was in tune.
My guitar had become a little out of tune.
We were in tune at that point. Sounding good, rocking, right?
Yeah.
Music can rock.
And then about halfway through my part, I realize, oh, he's turning my guitar down and messing with the sound. Like, a lot.
Yeah, I heard at one point it got, like, a lot louder.
Well, yeah, because I kind of gave up playing a little
bit.
They
can fix it.
Because it was like, yeah. Because, like, well, I guess he's, you know, turned it down or off or whatever. And then right towards the end... It got way loud because he jacked it way back up.
Right.
So that's what he was doing.
Producing.
Yeah, he was producing.
Yeah, yeah. But you guys did good.
But it was good. It was really good. And it was fun, and it was awesome, and we need to do it again.
I would like to perform live again. It's something that I haven't, like I said, I haven't done in 2 years. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised that... Oh, Sparklers. I'm
cool.
I'm surprised that I had the gall to take a task on like this.
You did it.
I did it. And in hindsight, I think I should have went to some open mics first. And,
no.
But it sounded great.
It sounded good. And I feel like the whole audience really loved it. Oh, and allegedly that theater is haunted, we found out along the way. I was on muscle relaxers that night, my back, and I tried to get everyone to call everyone a sex coward, but...
Right. You were on mellow beast.
Yeah, but I, you know, even on muscle relaxers, I was pretty high strung. But, you know, because Kimberly Strumble,
yes.
Which just, I don't know, look up Mr. Spaghetti Kimberly Strumble. Dickie Stock, because there's a lot of sex cowards out there, and Once a sex coward, always a sex coward.
I think I would want that to be the name of my band.
Sex Cowards?
The Sex Coward. Luke Ritter and the Sex Coward.
The Strum.
That would be a good... I'd have to start doing punk music.
Scott, I can't see the time.
We should take a break.
That's what I was wondering.
Has it been that long already?
Yeah. It's break time.
Wow.
We still got a lot to talk about.
We have a lot to cover.
We're going to do break time and over break
this,
time.
This podcast is going to be 5 hours long.
Buckle in. And we'll do break time, and maybe there'll be Luke's song here at break time. Maybe he will sing the song live at break time.
And maybe I'll do like a special cover, or maybe I'll...
Yeah.
I mean, who knows what?
What about a Prince cover?
What?
I don't know. I don't know very many Prince. I could try.
Scott.
No.
Or maybe Sherelle's cover. We don't know. What's it going to be? Cliffhanger.
Yeah, cliffhanger. But you'll find out right now.
And so, then... not a very long cliffhanger. But...
The cliffhanger will be, what will we talk about after the cliffhanger? Okay, goodbye.
Da-da.
No, we'll be back, not goodbye.
Let us be lovers, we'll marry our fortunes together. I've got some real estate here in my bag, so we bought a pack of cigarettes and Mrs. Wagner pie, and we walked off to look for a man. Kathy, I said, as we boarded a Greyhound in Pittsburgh, Michigan seems like a dream to me now. It took me 4 days to hitchhike from Saginaw. I've come to look for a America. Laughing on the bus, playing games with the faces. She said the man in the gabardine suit was a spy. I said, be careful, his bow tie is really a camera. Toss me a cigarette, I think there's one in my wrinkle. We smoked the last one an hour ago. So I looked at the scenery as she read her magazine, and the moon rose over an open field. Kathy, I'm lost, I said, though I knew she was sleeping. I'm empty and aching, and I don't know why. Counting the cars on the New Jersey Turnpike, they've all come to look for America. All come to look for America. America.
Nobody lay your finger on my Butterfinger.
Well, I can't even think of his catchphrase now. What, Cowabunga
Dude? Shorts? Eat my shorts. Yeah, Cowabunga Dude also. And there's some other things, right?
Go! Which is Homer.
That's Homer. What else did Bart say?
It's Marge.
Oh!
I thought... When Marge would get angry, she would go...
Homie!
I never really liked The Simpsons that much.
I didn't either.
I think I liked it for a while. But I'm definitely far more don't.
Of a fan of, like, Bob's Burgers.
You know, there's just something about, like, animated stuff. I'm just like, no.
When I was, like, 10, I think I liked my Simpsons t-shirt more than I liked the show.
Well, yeah. You know what I think I had? Is a Bart Simpson, Go For t-shirt. It's like. It's like Bart Simpson. You know how everyone had Gulf War t-shirts during the Gulf War? Like Desert Storm.
Yeah.
It had like Bart on it.
Everyone, I think everyone was wearing Desert Storm shirts for a while, weren't they? But it had Bart Simpson on
yeah,
it.
Yeah. That's strange. Well, I had a Desert Storm shirt and like, a hat. That's weird.
You were into it. You love that war.
That's weird.
That was your favorite war.
Yeah.
He was in the army then. He's just talking about fatigues. I had a shirt that said 1,000 points of light. I had a Dukakis shirt.
You know what happened at 8:00? Oh, Scott, are we ready?
We've been going for like minutes.
Oh, crap, no, because I'm just stuffing my face.
Well, so have I been. Oh, it's going in.
Okay, now.
Okay.
Begin the begin.
So, this morning at 8 in the morning, I could see a head going across the window, and I'm like, Scott, someone's at our house.
Which, like out front? Or?
Yeah. Like, and then ringing on the doorbell. Oh, lo and behold, someone's at our house. Guess who it is? It is Cosmo's old girlfriend's she's mom.
Black. She's black.
She's a black pug. And she's older, and her name's Odie May.
So it was like a guess who's coming to dinner kind of thing?
This old lady, she's probably like 75?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah.
She must not live far, then.
No, she just lives like
half
a
mile, maybe. Not even. And, she is like, her and her husband are nice. They're very nice.
Mm-hmm.
He has a
little intrusive.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the thing. They're very nice. They have a pug. They have a Corvette. They have a nice house or whatever.
They made us get inside the Corvette in their garage.
Yeah.
The guy was like, have we ever shown you the Corvette? And we're just like,
of course not.
No.
We've
just met.
We've met like twice and it's been
outside
in the street about dogs.
That seems to be like an old guy thing. Yeah.
Of course we haven't seen the Corvette, sir.
They just sort of assume a lifetime of memories with someone they've met.
So yes. He takes us into this garage and it's just like this tricked out new Corvette with like better than leather interior.
Was it a little red Corvette?
Yeah, the leather was like, he's like, this is Napa leather or
that's
something.
That's right. It was like better than normal leather. It was like
it was really fancy leather. It
felt so
is
good.
Is Napa leather a thing?
Apparently. I don't know.
That's what he said. It felt real nice.
Hmm.
But anyway, that's them. And she is also very, very, very gossipy.
Yeah.
And not just about like people who she doesn't like. Or like she tells us about her daughter. It's weird.
Wow.
And like her daughter's husband and all the businesses he's had that have gone bad. And yep. Like some of her neighbors got in vitro fertilization and... She was telling us that she was going to a shower and how much that cost. And she's just gossiping about everyone. And we have no idea who any of these people
well,
she's talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, because they're not like on your street.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and we're just like, yeah. So she was at our door at 8 a.m. this morning.
Wow.
And she was asking us if we knew of a dog that got loose named Marley. And we're like, No. And it's because she found a collar, and it seemed like a real nice collar. It said Marley on it and everything. And she called the number, and it sounded like a junior high kid, and she left him messages, and she said, but, you know, they never check their voicemail. They only text, so they aren't going to find out.
Some stranger found my dog, but I never knew. Right. Because I was so wrapped up in texting. Right.
If you're missing a dog, you might check a strange voicemail from
yeah,
the number.
You might check the voicemail. But, you know, it is a junior high kid, so they're not going to do it.
I just like to imagine that she's alienated everyone in her street. So now she has to move.
She has to go to other streets, sure.
And she's met you guys, so.
So she,
she's
yeah.
gotten in.
And she was telling us that tomorrow it might hail. She's like, it's so beautiful today, oh, but tomorrow it might hail. And then it's just like,
and
oh, shit.
And apparently, the storm sirens are out of order.
Uh-oh.
Yep, that's what she said. So that happened at 8 a.m. this morning.
did you invite her in? Did you?
No, we stayed outside.
Fuck no.
Right. 8 a.m.'s early.
Yeah.
For the Utes.
Yeah.
Out there.
Yeah, she didn't come in. We were just outside.
No, Yeah, I don't invite people in.
Well, especially people you don't know.
Well, my neighbor wanted to give me computer ink once recently.
Really?
And
yeah.
I didn't know what type of cartridges I had.
Right.
And I think he wanted to come in, and I said, hold on, I'll be right back. And I went and unplugged my printer and brought it outside.
Right.
So I got a printer open in the lawn. You're not coming in. You're not coming in, Terry.
He wants in.
He just wants to
look around?
Yeah, probably.
Wow, I don't have that. I live in an apartment, though. They all pretty much look the same.
Yeah, because we've been in his house. Because there was a time we were at his door, mm-hmm. and he invited us in. Like,
yeah, and it was just like, we don't need to come
in. It's like,
I
don't need to come in at
right.
all. I don't at
no
all.
No one needs to go in anywhere.
Unless you are friends.
Well, yeah, unless
that's
it's
a very
like,
private space.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very...
Yeah, you don't just say,
to invite a
come
stranger.
On in.
Yeah, right.
Like, and then, you know, this stranger.
Kick your feet up.
Yeah. And it's like, what are we supposed to do with Terry? I don't want to say his name too loud because we're outside.
He might invite us. Next podcast will be from his house.
So, that happened at 8 a.m. You and I were talking earlier because I told you, like, you know, I used to get really stressed out about musical chairs, playing musical chairs.
Mm-hmm.
I hated that. That
yeah.
I hated... It's real stressful. I just wanted to get out of that whole scenario.
It's terrible. And to associate music, something so wonderful.
Yeah.
That should not be competitive.
Yeah. Who can sit down first? You've always got to have your eye on the seats.
Right. Yeah, I had the same terror playing that.
And then... It was just, like, all competitive things. I was like, just get me out.
Right.
I would pretend to be out when I wasn't out in dodgeball.
Right.
I threw a spelling bee because I didn't want to get... I didn't want to do it. So I was just like, I'll just misspell this. Get out of here.
But, I mean, you were a good speller, though.
I can see.
The competitiveness is...
It's just like... You guys do this.
Like
I don't want to.
Like with musical chairs. There's clearly enough chairs for everyone.
Yes. Why can't we all just sit down?
Why are we taking them away?
Yeah. Just sit down and listen to music.
Right. Unless does someone else need these chairs?
Yeah.
And that way, just let us know.
Yeah.
Don't trick us.
And it's like, I don't want to be the one to beat anyone else in something and make them feel bad.
Right. I was always afraid of...
And then
like,
losing in front of everyone?
What I was afraid of with musical chairs.
Yeah.
Stuck on.
Sorry, that was my fault.
Oh, is that I would try to sit down
and then
someone.
The chair would be gone.
And then I would fall and
yeah.
make an ass out of myself.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Scott? You were probably fine with all this.
I don't know. Ask me a more specific question.
What did you think of musical chairs?
Well,
you were in competitive, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't think we really played musical chairs very much.
What?
I can kind of remember doing that like twice.
I felt like that was endless. Every day it was like, I hope they don't play musical chairs.
Did they play a lot at your school?
Yeah, it was preschool.
Oh.
I don't know. I guess the times I played it, I felt like Well, if I don't get to that, if I'm the last one, it's just like, fine. I'm not going to shove you out of that seat, you idiot.
Yeah.
You might do it to me, but fine. I don't care. You win. You win. You win. It's like roulette. It's like getting mad at roulette. That's what musical chairs is.
Yeah, you had a real...
Damn thing.
You had a firmer grasp on the whole scenario.
See, we played Russian musical chairs.
Oh, Jesus.
So no, those stakes were a little higher.
Those poor kids.
I'm the only one that graduated. Nice. But you were in competitive sports, which is like the ultimate of competition.
Yeah.
But you're on a team, though, and so you're sharing the burden with... your teammates, I guess.
True.
And you do hockey.
Yeah. So, we've been losing forever, though.
And you're just like, whatever, I don't care.
We've won 3 games this year out of, like, 24. And that's, like, pretty good for us. We lost to a team that didn't have a goalie once.
Now, how does that happen?
Exactly.
Right.
It's obscene. It's real sad, it's real hard, and it's not fun.
You know what? I would like
this is going to be the last year of it, though, so.
Why?
Because the team is disbanding, because it's too much. Like, it's just the losing. We can't handle it.
I'd like you to talk as if you're Lindsey Graham about competitive sports.
What, in general?
Yeah, just Lindsey how you feel
Graham,
about him.
The what is he?
Scott, what's Lindsey Graham? Your hero?
Oh, he's a senator.
A senator. I didn't know if he was a congressman or a senator.
Just what, you know, like the state of competitive sports according to Lindsey Graham, and how you feel about him and the role they played in your life.
Well, I think it's great. I think sports are great.
What about America?
I love it. I can't. Casey, Luke, I can't even believe people aren't loving it as much as they'd like to because it's great here. It's reds, whites, blues. I'm having trouble remembering what state I'm a senator in. I'm my own favorite senator.
I imagine Senator Graham, it's a southern state because you have
that
a southern
sounds like South
yes,
Carolina.
I'm very effeminate.
Now, what is your relationship status, Senator Graham?
I'm very married.
You're very married?
Yes. To a lady.
To a lady.
Yeah.
A lady.
Hey, ladies.
Senator, what are your thoughts on gay marriage? Or as I like to call it, marriage.
I think I just have to be for it.
Really? I thought you were a conservative, Senator, so that's really...
I'm sorry, is this on the record?
Well, I guess.
It's on the podcast.
Right.
Oh, it's
but
on
that's
the
very
podcast.
Progressive of you. That's very good to hear a conservative senator say that.
Well, I have to say I'm against it.
Oh, okay. We'll just edit that first part out.
I changed my mind.
He was for it before he was against it.
He's
a flip-flopper.
Well, do you have any more questions for the senator, Casey?
Ask me anything. I'm supposed to talk about sports.
It's competitive sports.
Competitive sports.
Do you love them?
Well, I did.
Not now. You're against them now? Another flip-flop?
I'm just too tired to play them.
Yeah, I'm tired, too.
You probably don't have time, too, with all the senatin you got to do.
Yeah.
I have laws to make and break.
Oh, he's a lawbreaker.
If you know what I mean. And you do. And we do.
Senator, could you tell us the brace philosophy?
guess just be good to people.
Yeah. Thank you. It was great having you on.
Thank you.
Now we need to talk about gigolos with Scott.
I feel like I haven't heard Lindsey Graham. I have to hear him talk, and then I can get it more.
I think that was pretty good.
I haven't heard him talk in a long time.
Well, because he stopped running for president.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so
he's just... The Brace philosophy is just to be good to people. Gigolos.
Gigolos is a reality show on Showtime about...
Have you seen it?
I have seen it, yeah.
Male escorts in Vegas.
I think it's weird that they feel they have to give these women elaborate backstories when they're really just, like, actresses. Like, softcore porn actresses. They aren't really, like, lawyers.
And some so
they're being... Their clientele is mainly softcore porn actresses?
It has to be. But it's like, their clientele is all like, they have a backstory like...
I usually just put it on mute because the talking takes me out of it.
I would say half their clients are like, it's softcore porn actresses.
Showgirls, I guess.
Acting who are just, like... Like their former, like their teachers, and they're away with their girlfriends on vacation, and they're just
looking to have a good time
with a professional.
And then the other half are just ladies who are looking to get fucked, like they need.
Right.
And like they can't just let it be that. It has to be some, I'm a lawyer who, my job is very stressful, and I have to. It's like,
is
whatever.
That, is that just... Lindsey Graham's son?
Yeah.
I've seen a little bit. Are they just servicing the ladies, or are they?
Yeah.
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 And the name
there are
the...
no gay gigolos.
So far, no. You'd think they'd get on board.
Yeah.
That's, you know, Las Vegas of all places should be more progressive.
And what's the name of their company? It's like Cowboys and Cowgirls or something.
Cowboy Lawyers.
So it's all like reality showed up, basically. Mm. But there's all different kinds of these guys, and they all have a...
They all have their own little...
Yeah, it's a reality show.
They all work for the same Igalo company. I like saying Igalo. Igalo company.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a whole, like a tattooed, muscly guy. There's like a long-haired Spanish.
Yeah, like he's into like metaphysics and stuff.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then there's Brace, whose philosophy is to just be good to people. And he's the old one. And then
he's like a muscle-bound, like...
Daddy.
Schwarzenegger looking guy, you know.
And then there's,
and there's Andy Dick.
And then
there's a former Marine.
Former Marine. Guys like that.
Okay.
And they all have their own.
So basically all muscly men.
Yep, yep.
They have a little catchphrase at the beginning.
Like Real Housewives. You know how Real Housewives are like, don't believe anything unless it comes from my lips at the beginning of Housewives.
I never watched Real Housewives.
They all have like a catchphrase. Well, all the gigolos have a catchphrase.
Yeah.
And then Brace, his philosophy is just to be good to people.
Well, that's a good philosophy to have.
I like it. And I think we all should live by the Brace philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my philosophy is just to be good to people.
Yeah.
That's great. And then another guy said... I consider myself to be a true feminist.
Yeah.
That was Keanu.
Kind of, pretty much.
Yeah, like the Keanu character. So, yesterday we went to Chuck E. Cheese for lunch. It was Jeff's last day. And I'll tell you what, pretty good time.
Really?
For adults, yeah. Like, everyone was kind of nervous about it. Like, we don't have children with us. Is this okay? It's like, yeah.
But I thought, are there a lot of Chuck E. Cheese's still around? I mean,
I don't think so. But
has
it wasn't
this one
busy.
Been kept up?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they've remodeled recently. It's kind of, I don't know, it's different than when we were kids. So, played some skee-ball, got some prizes, pizza was pretty good. And I feel like if adults are like, what should we do? Where should we get pizza? Just go to Chuck E. Cheese.
Right. It's a great place where a kid can be a kid and an adult can
play skee ball.
Play skee ball.
Yeah. And everything's just a little token.
Is it still on the token system?
It is.
And they have that glass case where you can look and...
Yep. And I got some prizes.
That's what it... Do they still have the mechanical band?
Yes, they do.
Really?
Yeah.
They always creep me out.
They have the band, and for some reason, the band was singing a really sad happy birthday song. Like a real downer.
It was probably just still on cassette tape, and it was worn down.
It was real tragic. No one was celebrating a birthday at the time. Maybe that's what they were sad about. There was no birthday parties, and they were pissed. They're just upset.
Right.
But that's my recommendation. And Scott pointed out something the other day when we were watching Sideways that I want everyone to notice. Because it's real... I didn't notice how strange it was. Until Scott pointed it out.
It's a really great movie.
It is great. I worked at the theater when that came out. I think we went to it like 4 times. Mm-hmm. It's one of the best movies in the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, Scott. So, do you want me to say the line?
You want me to tell it then?
Yeah.
So, that having been said... That having been said, it has, as a high-tier movie in the last... couple of decades. Mm-hmm. It has a part that is absurd. It is so bad.
And once you notice it, it's real unsettling.
It stands out and it's weird. So it's the scene, it's probably about halfway through the movie.
When they're first at that Asian girl's house.
Yeah. It's Paul Giamatti and what's her name?
I don't know, the lady from Candyman.
Virginia Madsen.
Virginia Madsen. They're on the porch drinking wine and talking about wine. Something just happened. We all good?
I'm good.
Okay. I heard something weird.
Oh.
It was in the audio. Okay. Ghost in the Machine. Okay. So they're on the porch. They're talking about wine. And it's supposed to be a scene that is building, you know, those two together as like a romantic couple. They're bonding over wine. And it's fine. It's whatever. It's a lot of dialogue, but it's fine. It starts to get, they come closer in close-ups, and so it's getting more intimate, and you're kind of feeling like maybe they might kiss or something, and Virginia Madsen says, about where you're like, oh, this is going to get intimate, she says, Miles, can I ask you a personal question? He's like, sure. Says, why do you like Pinot so much?
I don't remember that bar.
Of course you don't. Right. You don't. But the next time you see it, you
why
will.
Why do you like Pinot so much?
Why do you like Pinot so much? And then he goes on this diatribe about fucking Pinot grapes.
Then she goes, it's like a thing with you.
Yeah. It's like a thing with you.
I don't really feel like it established that. Did it? Maybe it may remember that he was a Pinot for it. Maybe it does. And
It kind of, but not.
But not when she's around.
No, she has no clue. Even if he was, he could be the world's most foremost Pinot expert, but she doesn't know that.
Right.
Why do you like Pinot so much?
I think she just didn't want to kiss him.
It's like a thing with you. So that's the only misstep in that whole movie, but it is. Next time you see it, you will.
I'll have to watch it again. She's a little wine tease, I think.
Oh, also, Scott taught me something recently that when golf's on TV, they add in nature sounds.
They do.
That's strange.
I didn't even know that, actually, until... I mean, I've been watching golf for a while, and I like watching golf, but I had no idea.
Aren't they in nature? Like, yeah. Wouldn't that...
They are, but I guess it just doesn't sound good enough. Like, apparently, I don't know, not too long ago, some guy called in who was watching, and he said, hey, there's a sound of a bird that's not native to that area.
Oh, my gosh.
And called him on it.
What, I wonder if we'll have to add nature sounds to this podcast.
Yeah, I think you should. Don't add any that are not native to Iowa, though. Don't confuse anyone.
And like orangutans in the distance.
Elephants, like earlier.
Brrr!
There we go.
That's it.
Brrr! Nailed it.
Perfect elephant.
So, you know, I've been planting flowers, and this is my first use of the watering can this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this water smells. And I thought, because it was just a little bit of stale water at the bottom, so then I was going to just dump it in the yard. And then as I dumped it, things flopped out into the yard.
Do tell what things.
Well, I guess in this water that was left, some mice had gotten in and just died. And they were in there so long, there's no fur. It's just white. One of them's just a carcass, and it was just flopped out into my yard. And I about lost my mind. And I didn't know what to do because I felt like the juices were all over me.
Oh, wow.
And
dead mouse juice.
Yeah. And so I was banging on the garage door, not touching it with my mouse juice fingers. And then finally I'm just like, I just have to do it. And then Scott was in there. I said, why aren't you opening the door? And then I was screaming and going through the house. And he's like, what's going on? I'm like, I can't talk about it. I'll show you. And I'm like, look in the yard. And he doesn't see it.
Well, because they're just tiny, minuscule corpses of this.
Yeah, he didn't know what he was looking for.
Yeah, at all.
He thought some alien had landed there. But it was these mouse, just bodies.
Do you think that they were using your watering can as like a mouse mausoleum?
I think they were.
Like a, that's a sacred place of remembering the mice of
I think past. Maybe. So when we were talking about this earlier, you're like, sometimes I just think about things and I try to make myself sick.
I have this issue where I'll think of like mouse juices or yeah. something disgusting. If I like encounter here, you know, after it rains here, there are often a lot of worms.
Yeah, yeah.
And worms, I think, are the most disgusting creatures on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
All creatures are special. They serve a purpose. They're disgusting.
They are.
And they and the smell.
Yeah, it's all in the air.
It gets me so much that I'll be brushing my teeth the next day, and I'll think about those gross worms and that worms, and I'll throw up.
Oh, God.
It just that smell will come back to me. I can create awful senses just out of memory.
That's like your superpower.
It's more of a crutch. Anything like that.
And then you're like, earlier, like, what if someone made me drink that water?
I know. Then I'll think, oh God, what if there was a situation where I had to drink that water? And then I'm going to throw up if I think about it.
Let's not think about it anymore.
This is something tomorrow. I will think about this when I'm making dinner. And then I just won't eat because it'll be so disgusting. I have total recall of all things macabre and disgusting.
Oh, God. That's terrible.
But since it happened to you, I think it's okay. It's okay. It's not gonna...
Yeah, that's what it's like. I didn't even want to talk about it because it was like we're going to leave for dinner and I'm just like, God... This, of course, had to happen. It's like I already had a situation going on.
I would have thrown up if I that.
Like, I forgot to dry one of the clothes I was going to wear, and I'm like, I'm in a pickle, and I'm running around. And then I'm like, I've got to water these plants because I planted
them. Did you get a new
today.
Watering thing?
No, it's the same one. That was the one from last year, but I got new plants, and I had to water them
mm-hmm.
just because I
and they don't
planted
know.
Them. They don't know. And so that's when it happened, right? When we were leaving for dinner, when I was already in a whirlwind. And it was sick. It was sick.
Right.
But now we have a new watering can. I'm not using that one anymore. It's
no,
in the
that's,
garbage.
That's
disgusting.
It's a grave site. That's a sacred place.
Yeah. What's going on?
Nothing.
Listeners and I have been chain smoking.
We're on the porch. We do what we want. We're in beast mode. So, do you think, is it time for plugs, Scott?
Already?
If you want it to be, it can be, but it doesn't have to be. I mean,
do we have any more topics in the
queue? There's got to be something else we can talk about, right?
What?
It's got to be.
Well, yeah, of course there's other things we can talk about.
It's just got to be.
I can't lead that boring a life.
Scott, what do you want to talk about? You're the one that's like, there's other things to talk about. Oh.
I don't know.
I know what I can talk about. Did I talk about the fact that I think I probably just had an anxiety attack when my back...
Well, you didn't go into the...
You alluded to it.
You didn't go to the anxiety part.
Have you never had a panic attack then?
Yeah, I did.
What, in the past, what has your panic attacks felt like? Did it manifest that?
Yeah, let's all
physically?
Talk about our panic attacks.
Yeah, because I...
Go around in circle, talk about panic. Casey, you go first, then Luke, then I'll go.
Well, okay. So the other time I had it was at Wilco in Iowa City. And I had to sit down in the crowd. And then I made my way out of the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a tunnel, and everyone was going in. And then I just went and sat against the wall for a while.
Was it just because, were you down kind of in the...
Yeah, it was in that main lounge thing.
It was like...
Where were they playing in Iowa City? Was it a big venue?
Where was it?
I think it was like their lounge, like the main lounge.
Some lounge.
So it's more of a smaller room, mm-hmm. where there's a lot of people.
Yeah. Maybe, and everyone was crowded down at the front.
400 mm-hmm. people, maybe?
And then, yeah. So then I got out of there, but I got through all the crowd and went and sat against the wall. But when my back hurt and I thought I was dying and someone would find my body, I think what happened is I had a panic attack.
That started from just a back spasm or something, yeah.
Because then I think I started panicking about, you know, the dying thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was just on the ground screaming, and I'm like, I can never... And I went into work that day.
Right.
Like...
You love your job.
Yes, because there are ads that have to go out.
They do.
And I have to make them.
Yes, you can't make them on the floor.
No. So I had to go in. So I laid on the couch for like... I took a whole bunch of ibuprofen and laid on the couch on a heating pad. And then Cosmo, the sweet angel from heaven... just laid on me and licked my face like, what's going on. He was real freaked out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole next day when my back was still messed up, he just laid by me and didn't act like a maniac, because he is a sweet little boy.
Yes.
So,
but that was only the second panic attack,
like big time,
right?
Big time one,
right?
Luke, tell us about your panic attack.
I feel like we're in therapy. Mine can manifest just out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very surreal moment where it's almost like I'm hyper aware of everything around me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get, like, it happens especially if I'm in smaller spaces. Like, I've had it, like, I've been at jobs where you've been in the restroom.
Yeah.
In just a small, and I just, it. And maybe it's the stress of the job, or just the stress.
Mm-hmm.
It just builds and builds, and I let stress build and build and build until it hits that fever pitch, and I start breathing heavily.
Yeah.
My stomach, it feels like I'm going to throw up.
Mm-hmm.
But there's almost like, maybe this is just high blood pressure too, but it's almost like, there's almost a euphoric feeling in it.
Yeah.
Of like, I'm hyper, it's... like I'm high or something.
Yeah, like everything is real intense.
Yeah, everything is just all of a sudden, everything, light.
It's turned up.
Yeah.
It's in beast mode. Everything's in
everything
beast mode.
Everything is in, the world is in beast mode, and it's like I'm just seeing the world for what it really is.
Yeah.
And it lasts a minute, and then I'm able to calm myself down.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've had those. But it's that weird feeling of euphoria. Like,
it almost feels like I'm just disassociating with my body.
Mm-hmm.
Scott?
So I was in a movie, 2003.
The year?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, the movie.
The movie wasn't.
You don't remember it? And I think I was watching Dodgeball. That sounds close to right. It doesn't matter.
True underdog story.
Yeah. So I just started to feel a little weird, like a little weak, mm-hmm. like I hadn't eaten or something.
Right.
And whenever I get that feeling, I want Oreos. I don't know why. Hmm. But anyway, I decided I need to get up and go to the bathroom. As I'm walking to the bathroom, I get really, really dizzy
mm-hmm.
and super hot
mm-hmm.
and super thirsty. So I stop right outside the bathroom and get a drink of water in the fountain. And then I start to feel really like I'm going to fall over.
Mm-hmm.
So I stumble into the bathroom. And then I'm like holding myself up on the urinal.
Right.
My heart starts, I can feel it.
That's,
like
yeah,
beating in my chest, like just boom. Like mm-hmm. it's pushing my ribs out. Then I lost my hearing.
Really?
And then stuff started to go fuzzy black.
Wow.
And I just put my head down on the top of the urinal thing. Mm-hmm. And after, I don't know how long it was, but maybe 20 seconds.
Yeah.
It went away, and I started to feel better. And then it was, like, fine. I was soaked in sweat.
Wow.
And then I walked out of the bathroom and was like, well, that was weird. What mm-hmm. happened? Because I felt fine after that. Mm-hmm. That was it.
They can come, like, right? They can come out of nowhere.
Here comes one.
Here comes a panic attack. No, they can come just out of nowhere, yeah. Which is surprising. I mean, and even when you don't feel like you're panicked at the time or stressed mm-hmm. at the time. I mean, I think it's something that just builds.
Yeah. That's what it was definitely like, stress building with mm-hmm. me. And like, then I think my back, and it was like right as I was about to leave to work, then my back was just like, ah. And then I was like, well, I'm dead here.
Right.
People who have them a lot, I guess, and they do. They have them a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the fear of having another one that really triggers another one, and so it's just this nonstop, like,
wow.
Well, and that's kind of how I feel now. Like, when my back hurt the other morning, I was just like, fuck, here we go again.
And I've had that too, where I'll have spurts of like several weeks where I'll have several, and it's you start to feel it, and I've kind of been able to talk myself down from it and kind of just go, okay, no, this, you're just having a panic attack.
Mm-hmm.
This is where you are.
Yeah.
Fine. And that usually helps.
See, we have good advice for listeners.
Right. There might be some listeners out there now that are going through that and don't.
You just got to fight through.
Fight through it.
You're going to make it through.
The doctor will give you some Xanax or whatever, but that's not going to kick in for like a half hour.
Or just.
So you got to fight through it.
Right. Or just experience, be in the experience, mm-hmm. and
just enjoy it.
Just enjoy it.
I think
you should just enjoy your panic attacks. I think they're lovely.
Who knows what our brain is doing while we're having I don't know if it's just, maybe it's just
vacationing,
resetting itself.
Or yeah, it's a force quit.
It's a force. It's control alt deleting, and then it's going to shut down. Reboot.
So, I hope that is some good advice for people. Advice is, mm-hmm. we're doing that.
But it's what's strange is how it's so, it's different for everyone. It seems like a unique.
All
experience.
Of ours are different.
Yeah.
Okay, so we had Chinese food earlier, and now we have fortunes, and we're gonna read our fortunes.
We had Chinese food. What?
Yeah.
You had Chinese food.
Yeah, Scott.
That's crazy.
You were in beast mode.
I was in beast
mode. You did it.
Yeah, I was in beast mode.
And we got you to have Chinese food.
Yeah, in beast mode.
And I think you'll be doing it again.
Don't tell me what to do.
If I can take a moment to just shout out to all Chinese restaurants everywhere. If we could make these fortune cookies a little bit more tastier.
Yeah, why are they crappy?
They're awful. I don't need them. I don't even need them.
I like they're a sweet taste, and they're not too sweet. I like that, but
not too weird.
No, I don't even eat them.
It's a weird texture.
No way.
Not for me. Who's reading their fortune
first?
I
like a stale waffle cone.
Mm-hmm.
Who's reading their fortune first?
I don't care. You want me to?
Yeah, do it, Scott.
All right. It's kind of tough to read out here.
I may need a flashlight on my
All right, head. This has a picture of a panda, and then it says, Poe says, your recommended daily dose of awesome can be found in this cookie. Okay. And then I turn it over.
A bit on the nose.
Yeah.
Oh, God, this is fucked.
What?
Turn it over and it says, how about another fortune? Secondfortune.com.
Oh, you have a crappy one. Mine's good.
And then I have a bunch of lucky numbers.
All right.
Well, mine's pretty good. Passion is in all great searches and is necessary to all creative endeavors.
There you go.
That's true.
A good one. Genius is the ability to reduce the complicated to the simple.
Are you guys kidding me?
A really crappy one.
Are your fortunes.
Those are our fortunes. Scott, I don't know what happened on yours. You've got an off-brand fortune cookie.
I got ripped off.
Yeah, you got ripped off.
Your Every recommended daily dose of awesome can be found in this cookie. A cookie I just sat over there because I'm not going to eat.
Well, Scott, I don't know. Go get your second fortune. What can we tell you? That's why they have a second fortune on there.
No.
Maybe it's like a Freaky Friday.
Not getting online.
And by reading that, he's act like tomorrow you two will wake up and be switch bodies.
Well, I'll probably have a panic attack.
No. Yes. And then you won't have it because he'll be in your body.
Now we're getting to plugs, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into plugs. So next week, Val will be back and we are going to, in between time, do vaginal steaming. So we will let you know how that goes.
Vaginal steaming?
Mm-hmm. We got sent some vaginal steaming supplies.
This is a home activity. You don't
yep,
go.
Yep. So I don't know how that's going to work, but it's going to work. And my vagina is being steamed.
What? What will that do to the vagina?
It says it's supposed to make your cramps better.
Oh, okay. So
it's supposed to do something good.
Do you put some carrots and celery down there? And
yeah, make some stovetop food. So that will be happening. And we will also have Tyler Walsh, who I do not know and have never met, on the podcast. And from Facebook, I believe he might be a rodeo clown.
Really?
Yeah.
That is going to be an interesting podcast.
So stay tuned for that. We'd like to welcome Denver from Cold Sweats back to the Midwest and listen to his podcast, Dinner for Two.
Back?
He's moving to Kansas City. Not to Centerville. So he'll be closer than Arizona. And so watch Dinner for Two. It's a video podcast on YouTube. Listen to our BFPs, the Cold Sweats podcast, who have not had you on.
Well, we haven't crossed paths yet.
Well, they need to cross the paths.
I could do some work and reach out as well. But I would love to be. I really enjoy that podcast.
Also, I would like to recommend everyone listen to Jamie Flam's podcast, Gatekeeper. Mm-hmm. I feel like if you're putting on comedy shows or any kind of show, really, listen to this. I feel like, you know, along with being like a good producer, like teaching you that, I feel like as an audience member, it's almost like he's our advocate. Like, please do this for the audience.
Right.
That's what it feels like listening to it. Because he's saying things that need to be said. Go to TJ for your haircuts. Scott? Scott, you got your haircut by TJ.
Yep.
Loved it. Talked about it last time.
I'm growing mine out and will be getting mine
prepping
cut.
Your head.
I'm prepping my head. Wearing hats until it's the right time to get it cut.
And listen to Luke's album.
Yes, Late Bloom is available, as I said, in fine computers everywhere. And we're working on the next one, and it's sounding amazing. So I'm really excited.
You guys are in beast mode.
I want to put out the songs we have now, but they have to wait for the album.
Yeah.
But this is going to be pretty bitchin'.
Also, like to shout out to my mom, just because Shout out to her.
Because she's an angel.
She is. She's an angel. Scott, do you have any plugs or shout outs?
I don't think so.
Get one.
Shout out to that rocket company.
What?
The
they landed that rocket on the island thing.
Oh.
Virgin, no. Elon Musk or...
Oh, the...
Tesla. No?
No.
Doesn't he make Tesla?
Elon Musk?
Yeah, but doesn't he make the Tesla car?
I don't know. I just know he's a famous...
Space One? Is that where he is?
Yeah. Was that Virgin or was that
him? No, that's Richard Branson.
Right.
So, shout out to this stranger. Shout out to
Elon Musk.
Yeah, Elon Musk.
You're doing very well.
Way to go, buddy.
I would like to announce that I am also building a rocket.
Well... If you land that, shout out to you. What are you doing, Scott? Oh, okay. So, are we done with plugs? All right, we're done. Goodbye. Thank you, Luke, for being here. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
It was a pleasure, as always.
What are you doing, Scott? All
right. We're running out of battery.
Oh, okay. Running out of battery. Goodbye.
Bye.
If you took all the girls I knew when I was single, brought them all together for one night, I know they'd never match my sweet imagination. And everything looks worse in black and white. Kodachrome.